Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If I didn't stick to my guns, you know what people would say? She can't handle the heat herself. I promise you, every argument, every debate we do here on the show, I've already thought it out. Every fan base takes its turn being sensitive. We managed to offend them all the way across the country and north of the border. We're really good at it. We'll get to you eventually. Such a great world we live in.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That was a quick hour. Wrapping and recapping the Olympics and another busy weekend. I thought the Paris Games did hit a massive home run. We're talking Shohei Ohtani Grand Slam of sorts. And I am excited that the next games, the summer version, which are my favorites, they will land in Los Angeles. And there was quite the fanfare for the handoff, as you can imagine. You've got LA making a huge deal of this. It'll be the third time that the Olympics land in Los Angeles. And while not every event will be in downtown LA, I've already heard about some of the ways that SoFi Stadium will be featured. Maybe also a consideration just dawned on me when they built the stadium. All right, so it's been primarily football. Obviously, they can use it for other events. But built for the Rams and the Chargers, and a space that is technologically not only arresting, as in visually arresting, but all kinds of incredible high-tech and advanced features for, we'll call them fans, people who attend events, ticket holders. Yeah, it was made with the technology in mind, using the newest and the best and the greatest high-tech features and intel. And I dare say, gosh, if they could build it again, they would include AI. But for SoFi Stadium to get built when it was, just maybe for the Kroenke family, for Stan Kroenke, there was this idea that, okay, a new stadium is one that would get a lot of play when the Olympics come to Los Angeles again. It's the first indoor-outdoor stadium, and it's really unparalleled. There isn't one that looks like it in the United States. There isn't one that was built like it, state of the art. And it will be the host to the LA opening ceremonies, as well as a bunch of other events. It's going to be awesome. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Put a post up on both of our social media sites, at A-Law Radio, as well as our Facebook page. Haven't had a chance to throw up any photos yet on Facebook, but I will. In fact, I might even give you a little more on Facebook than I did on Twix, just because I can easily do a montage. We're going to pivot away from the Olympics, but we'll get back to them because I want to talk about this Jordan Chiles situation and the fact that her bronze medal is now in jeopardy. And even if you feel for the Romanian who lost the bronze after believing she had it, even if you think the process was suspect, whatever it is, the way that officials have handled this, the way that the IOC has handled this, it's crappy. It's left people in the lurch. It's been a roller coaster of emotions for both of the gymnasts as well as their countries. And now it drags on. So as much as I could put gymnastics into my top three or top five favorite moments or memorable moments from these Olympics, this definitely tarnishes the gymnastics competition as a whole. And I think these summer games were terrific. They featured the same spirit and excitement as the ones that I grew up with, the ones that made me fall in love with the Olympics. And so I'd love to hear from you. Again, put a post up at A-Law Radio, as well as on our Facebook page and our phone number, 855-212-4227. So we'll do a little more of the Olympics. Also a little baseball. Not only because there are some very tight races that are going to take us into the second half of August. What? The second half of August? But also because even as the Astros swept the Red Sox to solidify their hold there on the AL West, as well as kind of leapfrogging in the wild card race, one of the bright young Red Sox, who of course his name you heard a bunch around the All-Star game, Jarren Duran, he was caught on camera using a gay slur. And he was yelling at a fan who was heckling him and clearly lost his temper. But I've heard the video and it's clear what he said to this fan. Two F words right in a row. Two very different F words, but two F words right in a row. And later, there was a statement released by the Red Sox in which he said, "During tonight's game, I used a truly horrific word when responding to a fan. I feel awful knowing how many people I offended and disappointed. I will use this opportunity to educate myself and my teammates and to grow as a person." The team also apologized. And so it's kind of the highest of highs for Duran as he kind of revs up his major league career. He wins the All-Star Game MVP. He has a home run. He's leading off for the Red Sox. And now this. And I don't know if Major League Baseball will suspend him. I don't know. I can imagine there would be a fine at the very least. And so we'll see what happens if the Red Sox take action. The apologies, of course, meant to get out in front of it. And maybe because it was a Sunday afternoon with the Olympics going on, NFL taking place as well. You'll hear more about it on Sunday. It certainly took a while for people to figure out what they heard on the television, but it didn't take long for the Red Sox to figure out that they better do some damage control. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Kevin is in Oregon. Kevin, welcome to the show. What was your favorite Olympic moment?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you, Amy, I love your show.
Thank you.
If your on-air personality is also what you're like in real life, your husband, your family, your friends, you're lucky to be around you. You're just wonderful. I love it. So.
I appreciate that. Well, it takes too much time and energy to be someone that I'm not. So, yes, this is just me, for better or worse.
Now, you're clearly very thorough on the topics that you cover, too. So I appreciate that. My favorite moment, I think my favorite moment was the young man, the U.S. man who won a bronze medal in the 5,000 and 10,000, which an American had never won two medals in those distances before. And if I heard right, since 1912, U.S. has only won 10 medals in those events. And I saw the end of the 10,000. He was like in seventh, came around the last turn. There were three Ethiopians and then a Norwegian, a Kenyan, another guy, and then the American. And the guys who won first, second, and third just kicked it into another gear. I couldn't believe after 10,000 meters they could actually do that. But it was really fantastic to see that. Just great.
Yeah, I do love what we've seen from Team USA in terms of some of the races where there were these crazy comebacks. And as you point out, the United States has typically been dominant in the sprinting and in the relays, right? The 4x100, the 4x400. Those are the ones that we generally see Americans dominate. And then you've got Team USA, well, they'll field runners, of course, in some of the longer distance events. But not generally ones where they're successful. And so, yeah, to have a pair of medals in the men's 5,000 meter, that was a big one. Really cool. I think that you're talking about Grant Fisher. I just want to be sure.
I believe that's right. I mean, okay. He won the bronze in both the 5,000 and 10,000. And afterwards, they interviewed him. And he was saying, I hope this will, you know, fire some interest for distance runners in the United States.
Yes.
Because I really would like to see that happen. I was just fantastic. I was very moved by it.
Yeah, it's been really neat to see some progress in events where Americans have not done well before. And there's been a bunch of those, like, for instance, rugby sevens, the U.S. women winning a bronze in that event. But also some of the, you know, the typical events where they're dominated very often by other countries, their signature events, to see us making headway was cool. And yeah, he's 27 years old, had a pair of bronzes in both the 10,000 meters and the 5,000 meters. And yeah, so he and just, I'm looking at this now, he had like a lap to go in that event, and he was ninth place. And so he really had to put on the afterburners, just to get on the podium, but to be able to make, you know, that kind of, ground up against such talented and accomplished runners is awesome.
And when he was interviewed afterwards, he said that last lap when he was in ninth place, he said, my legs were so heavy, I just didn't think I could do it.
Mm.
And he said, and all of a sudden, it opened up, and there was a space for me to run, because he was kind of boxed in, and he said, and I just, somehow or another, dug deep and was able to sprint that out. It was a fantastic finish. Anyway, listen, Amy, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Great show.
Thanks, Kevin. Good to talk to you. I appreciate you calling our attention to Grant Fisher. Yeah, I love this quote. I just found it online as I'm reading about him. People say medals can't be taken away, and that was one thing I was missing my whole career. I've gotten records before, and those are really fun and really cool and historic, but eventually those will go away. But now I've got two medals in one Olympics, and I think patience through my career has paid off well, and now it's kind of come all at once, so it feels really, really good. He is 27 years old, and every single time I see some of these stories and I look at their ages and I think, okay, could they still be competing when the games come around in 4 years? Because that is going to be major incentive for a lot of athletes to be able to compete on their own soil in 2028. And especially now, considering how awesome the French fans were and how fans traveled from all over Europe. You know, it's not hard to go from one country to another in Europe. And so it's relatively easy for fans to travel from all parts of the continent. And to have that kind of spirit and energy and electricity, oh, the basketball that was on display, right? Because the French teams were battling the U.S. I think that's even more encouragement. What did Léon Marchand say about the fans? Just how awesome it was that he'd had the French Olympics circled on his calendar, knowing that he had to peak in time for these games. And he was by far the biggest star, although Wemby probably gave him a run for his money, but by far the biggest star of these games for the host country. And now you've got Americans who competed in these games who are watching those crowds and that reception and feeling that home court or home water, home pool, home arena advantage. We'll just call it field, the home field advantage. And no doubt that's going to be incentive for a lot of these Olympians, if they possibly can, to extend their careers so that they can feel the same thing. and been carried along by these same emotions. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page too. Steph Curry is definitely among my top five Olympic moments. And it's not that I don't appreciate all of them, of course, so no one get mad at me if I don't mention some of the favorites that you think I should. Gabby Thomas, because of her story and because she and her coach put together a six-year plan for her to win gold at these Olympics, and she did. Harvard educated, starred for the Crimson in track and field, the sprinting, and then went to UT. And while she is pursuing her her master's degree in public health, she's also training for the Olympics. I think won a bronze in Tokyo, and then, in fact, secures her gold medal here in Paris. I say here, meaning here as in these Olympic Games. She was definitely one of my favorites. Her reaction and the fact that the plan came together so perfectly. How often does that happen? And just her reaction as she came across the line. 200 meters, the golden girl. And she never stopped smiling too, which was awesome. I love the emotions, the pure, raw emotions. So those are two of my top five. 855-212-4227. So we'll take our break on time, which I hardly ever do. And then we'll get to some of the NFL, maybe rookie quarterbacks, because the spotlight shining on them. But at some point, we're going to have to talk about what happened with the Chiefs. We're going to have to talk about a safety in place of the new kickoff because, they don't quite know the rules yet. But that's what preseason is for. This is why I don't even bother to tell you scores in preseason because they do not matter. What matters is that you work out the kinks and you shake off the rust and you figure out the rules. Just got this tweet at A-Law Radio. Top five moments from these Paris Olympics. Or if you will, top five memories from these Paris Olympics. Number five, Simone Biles dominating. Number four, Katie Ledecky lapping the field. Number three, women, and I'm assuming he means U.S. women, dominating the track and field sprints. Oh, yes. Awesome. Sha'Carri Richardson, Gabby Thomas, well, even Sydney McLaughlin-Levroni. Now hers is hurdles, but still new world record for her. The Turkish shooter. I don't know his name. Probably couldn't pronounce it anyway. But the one who showed up with nothing more than the weapon. Picks up a gun and starts doing his thing. Whereas you've got other people out there with all kinds of equipment. The eyes, the eye patches or the eye goggles, the hats, the earplugs, everything else. Now he just steps up to the platform, picks up the weapon, and goes at it.
You mean Yusuf Dikic?
Yes, that's who I mean. Gray-haired, salt and pepper hair.
Nonchalantly
just steps up and rocks it. He became a superstar just by virtue of how much it seemed like he didn't care. Yeah. He gave two Fs and he just stepped up and like did his thing.
I already have that that viral picture saved to my photos for a rainy day.
Because he's doing it with his hand in one pocket, right?
Oh yeah, hand in one pocket, yeah, just so absolutely just nonchalant, like, yeah, I've absolutely done this before.
He was the silver medalist, and it's a pose, as Manny has mentioned, that has gone viral just because of his demeanor and just how nonchalant he seemed. In fact, other athletes are even celebrating with this pose where, yes, hands in his pocket. He's a righty. So his left hand in his pants pocket and his right hand firing the weapon. And his quote is, "I am a natural shooter." So that's it. But he did admit that while it looked like he was calm on the outside, that storms were raging inside me.
Storms were raging inside me.
That's what
me.
He says.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what he says. By the way, he's 51 years old. He says, I don't use many accessories. My shooting technique is one of the rare shooting techniques in the world. I shoot with both eyes open. Even the referees are surprised by this. And he also does commit to LA 2028.
Nice.
So we will see him again.
Don't want to see Yusuf in a dark alley in Ankara or anything.
I don't think it's that kind of shooting.
Oh, no?
Although sharpshooter, I guess, is a sharpshooter. Finally, from this tweet, doesn't have a name. Only thing better than the Turkish shooter for this Olympics fan, Steph being Steph. Steph gonna Steph. Yeah, so send me yours at A-Law Radio. I'm kind of working through mine, no particular order, and I'll take yours on Facebook as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Prescott's in the gun, back to throw, looking right. Scrambles left, still got it, scrambles back right. Throws it in the end zone, caught for a touchdown in the back of the end zone by CeeDee Lamb.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
I have no doubt that we will see and hear that connection again in 2024. That actually was January 7th, 2024. One of Dak's touchdown passes to CD. Of course, one reason why they both had seasons in which they set records, MVP candidate for Dak Prescott. And now we have not seen CD. There's no sign of CD TD because he is a holdout from camp wanting a new contract. Now, that's not anything new. What's new is Jerry Jones trying to backpedal just a bit. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt while he explains why he didn't mean it the way it sounded when he said, there's no sense of urgency about getting CeeDee Lamb in camp. Oh, dear. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio. At A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page, named after the show, easy peasy to find. By the way, if you didn't watch the Olympics and you don't care, you don't need to post. If you don't care, peace out. There's no need to let me know. It's like when someone unfollows me or stops listening to the show and they feel the need to tell me. Nah, it's okay.
That's a fact.
You just can leave. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. There's no need. And I don't believe you when you say you don't care, but yet you post on our page. Nah. 855-212-4227.
Don't be ridiculous.
Leon on Facebook actually includes one of my favorite moments, so I wasn't sure I was going to put it on my top five. In the 1500 meters, we were just talking about the long distance events and how a couple of Americans made headways, but Cole Hocker in the 1500 meters had that crazy run down, well, crazy running through the field, kind of threading through the field, rallying from, gosh, he was seventh or eighth, like 200 meters to go. And he comes through and he wins gold at the wire. Oh my gosh. Another moment that I absolutely loved. So yeah, there's some pretty incredible stories. There always are. But I love it when there's shockers like that one. Cole Hocker, 1500 meters in gold, first Olympic medal, and come from behind fashion. We do love underdogs in the United States. This is what happens. I keep getting off on the Olympics tangent when really I want to talk about football. So here we go. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Blast off. Jerry Jones last week talking to reporters, and of course, they're going to ask him about CeeDee Lamb every time. He's the owner. He's the general manager. They need some answers. Why, Jerry? Why isn't he in camp? Why haven't you given him a new contract? Or how are you feeling about it these days?
Are you saying there's a sense of urgency as you begin the preseason to get CeeDee done?
No.
No? Why do you say that?
I'm just, I went to high school, or I went to college. I don't know why I said it, but I'm just saying I don't know. I don't have a sense of urgency about getting it done.
It's a long-standing tradition.
Pick any reason you want. I said no boo 2 days ago. Give that as a reason.
Don't be stupid.
Give me some oxygen. That's it. Right?
Excuse me.
That kind of feels appropriate in the wake of what he said about CeeDee Lamb last week with the reporters. I mean, I can't even understand part of what he's saying. I swear, the first time I heard it, I thought he said I went to Costco. Not that Jerry Jones shops at Costco, but you get what I'm saying. I went to college. I went to Nobu 2 days ago. I mean, he's laughing, kind of throwing things out there. Why don't you have a sense of urgency? Stutters a couple of seconds and then comes up with these weird lines and laughing. No, there's no sense of urgency. Well, as you can imagine, not just here on After Hours, but elsewhere in the NFL world, that created quite the firestorm. Well, with the NFL hot and heavy into its first preseason weekend and the Cowboys taking on the Rams Sunday afternoon in what is the national primetime. Well, it's primetime for the football world and primetime for football fans. This was the NFL getting you back in the pattern of 1 p.m. Eastern time, 4:15 Eastern time, or 11 and 1:15, not Amy, get your act together. I'm mixing time zones here. All right, let's try that again. Take two. This is 10 and 1:15. There we go. Bingo. Pacific Coast time. Or I guess we really should have gone with the Cowboys and their time zones, the Central. Are you ready? I can do this. 12:15, or well, noon. Noon and 3:15.
That's a fact.
Thank you, Jerry. Well, at least you got something. You nailed it. You crushed it there, Jerry. So did you, Amy. Way to go. All right. It's preseason, right? It's preseason for all of us. So Jerry and the Cowboys taking on the Rams, and he sits down for a conversation with their pregame show and gives a wide-ranging response and clarification on DallasCowboys.com.
I think I got in trouble a little the other day when I said, we're not urgent about CD. Well, no one appreciates CD being on the field any more than I do. But let me say this. He wouldn't be taking a snap out here today if he'd been here for a while. You've got to use your head when you expose key players. That gives the other younger players a chance to do it. We know exactly what CD can do, and he's worked out with Dak. And so we wouldn't have him out here. It has really not anything to do with his contract. Dak won't be out here this afternoon. And so the bottom line is, no, there's not that urgency. Now, I understand completely the angst that's happening when you're anxious about and someone says anything about whether you're missed or not. Well, CD, you're missed, okay? But you're not missed out here competing, and it doesn't put any pressure anyplace on us.
Get me some oxygen.
I feel like he managed that situation well. There was some damage control.
He's as pure as mother's milk.
Ew. All right, let's not double down here. So what he's saying is, when I was asked about CeeDee Lamb and a sense of urgency, it's because he wasn't going to be in this preseason game anyway. Had he been participating in camp, we weren't going to have him on the field. And as even now, as I'm seeing some of the highlights on NFL Network, yeah, you didn't see a ton of the starters or even likely players for Cowboys and Rams, unless there's injuries. A lot of the guys were on the sidelines with headsets or hanging out, maxing, relaxing. It looked like a pretty day in L.A. Maybe they were waiting for Tom Cruise to skydive overhead. So as this is taking place, and CD's all the story, all the rage, not what's happening on the field, Jerry Jones, I think, delivers a believable, acceptable response. The thing is, that doesn't give the answer about his contract. All right, so the question was the sense of urgency to get the contract done, not necessarily get him in camp, though one would more than likely signal and trigger the other. So it made it sound like he didn't care about CD being with the team. That's how it felt. And the fact that he was laughing about it was even worse. But I think when you hear what he has to say, whether he's had time to think about it or not, when you hear what he has to say now, okay, well, it's plausible. It's plausible deniability. It's plausible that that's what he meant. No, I'm not worried about him being in camp right this second. We've got him working on the Brett Favre model. We've got him working on the Aaron Rodgers model. We've got him working on the Russell Wilson model. We've got him working on the Dak Prescott model, whatever it is. And he does mention that with injuries, no need to shove him out there.
If something should happen to Dak.
And he's a veteran, which means, well, looking for a veteran contract, which means that yeah, they're not likely to play him. And he doesn't need to be in camp to be ready. It speaks volumes about camp, though, right? So, as I say, it's believable. I still think it's kind of a eh. And the fact that CD responded to him on social with an LOL incited what can only be described as a Dallas Cowboys brouhaha, a Dallas Cowboys riot on social. Strongly worded riot. I think the deal will get done. I can't imagine CD's going to leave, I think, what is it, $18 million on the table this year? If what you want is the guaranteed money, well, that money's guaranteed if you play. So I can't imagine he's going to leave that out there. At the same time, I can understand wanting a contract. And I do think the Cowboys need to hop to it when it comes to getting these three deals done. If they intend to keep CD, Dak, and Micah Parsons. 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, favorite Olympic moments. Memories. They certainly did blow it out in the closing ceremonies. And then L.A., well, it's already a party. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
Well, that feels like forever and a day ago. Just a couple of months, but wowzers. End of April is when we saw Caleb Williams finally and officially get crowned, selected, I mean, as the number one overall pick. But boy, the Chicago Bears fans are thrilled. Caleb Williams himself has handled things really well. I feel like he's become a professional football player, even though he's just a few months in. That's what everyone talks about with Caleb, is he does his work and he handles his business and he's professional. And he did get his first taste of NFL football, albeit preseason, albeit in a game that doesn't count, albeit fake football, but still, he was out there. It's kind of neat to think about the possibilities. He directed a couple of scoring drives, field goals, but yeah, playing on an NFL field for the first time ever, Caleb Williams.
There is an understanding that it is preseason, that, you know, everybody's not going to show their looks and, you know, what they would do versus and vice versa. But it definitely is, you know, it definitely feels good to get out there. Last time I was out there on the field other than practice was November 18th.
How about that? That was the end of the USC season. Going back to last fall, that was the last time he was out there in a game. So he makes his preseason debut. And yeah, there's always some positives and some negatives. But 9 months later. And so I can imagine that there were a lot of emotions, maybe some nerves, but a lot of anxiety too about just wanting to get out there. Had roughly 100 yards, couple of drives. He did have a ball that was picked off, though later wiped out by a penalty. This is against the Bills, by the way. And there's a lot of attention on what could potentially be a connection between rookies. So think about C.J. Stroud last year and the connection that he developed with some of his young receivers. Think about a Joe Burrow, right? Getting Ja'Marr Chase in after he'd been drafted. Ja'Marr gets drafted. The two of them know each other, have an opportunity to develop that connection. Another rookie, Rome Odunze. And so the two of them could end up kind of growing up with the Bears if they stay together. And there was a moment, and it was highly scrutinized, where Caleb Williams was kind of under pressure. He's feeling it, feeling the heat, and he ends up overthrowing Odunze in the end zone, trying to lead him, didn't quite have that connection yet.
That comes from time of getting on the same, you know, same page and same connection. We talked about it, and I actually thought he was going to take it high because I thought he saw the guy, which he did. He told me he saw the guy that was below him, the one defender and one of our teammates down the right sideline. I thought he was going to either settle or go to the back pylon. He started coming out flat. By then, I had to let the ball go, and I tried to give him a chance and put it back pylon, see if he could run under it.
And just the fact that he talks the way that he does in front of the media, you can tell that he's been well-groomed. You can tell that he's a guy who's used to being in the spotlight. He's ready for it, but also really intelligent about football. I think he handles himself well. And I do like the fact that he's been very professional since the Bears drafted him. And even before that, doing his research, spending some time in Chicago. All signs point to him settling in. And certainly would expect him to be the starter for the Bears week number one, which, by the way, we're inside of a month until the NFL regular season kicks off, baby. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Number two overall pick, Jaden Daniels, Washington Commanders. And he had the opportunity to find his way into the end zone on a rushing touchdown.
That was awesome. obviously, she's very excited, and I was happy just to, you know, be able to get my first touchdown and just throw it to her. So I know she's happy. I got to fight her to get the ball back now, but yeah, I know she's excited.
How cool is that? Not only does he get into the end zone, but has an opportunity to share it. The fury and the excitement around Jaden Daniels.
That was awesome.
similar to what we get with Caleb Williams. Although I think a lot of people might tell you they believe the Bears are closer to being a complete team. But Jaden Daniels listed as QB1. We found it out last week. And he completed a couple of passes. He was able to get into the end zone. And he then handed the ball to his mom, which was sweet. She's excited. She's happy.
That was awesome.
Now I've got to fight her to get the ball back. I love it. Drake May being that number three pick overall by the New England Patriots. And this is an interesting question. This game goes back to late last week. But new head coach Gerard Mayo was asked why Bailey Zappe, who's got some experience in the NFL and is, gosh, the last I looked was listed at fourth on the depth chart. I could go back and look again. But why he had so many more reps than the rookie Drake May.
Going into the game, I talked to AVP, McAdoo, and the entire offensive staff about what's the plan for the quarterback. And this conversation has been ongoing. And so this was always in the plan to develop these guys this way. And we'll see how it looks going forward. It won't always be the same because we're still evaluating everyone on the roster, but especially the quarterbacks.
So he only had a handful of snaps over one series. And Gerard Mayo's answering those questions. Why didn't we see more of him? Why isn't he getting more reps? Well, kind of the idea is that they're going to bring him along slowly. They're not anxious to get him out there right away. Same, not the same as Caleb Williams or even Jaden Daniels. They want to bring him along to the point where they feel like he's ready. Now, there is a lot of hope with Drake May that he could be the next franchise QB behind, well, in the absence of Tom Brady, right? They've had a couple of different guys they've tried out. They thought Mac Jones might be the one. He wasn't, and he's now a Jaguar. So is it Drake May? Well, maybe, but they want to make sure he's ready before they throw him into the fire. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.